You know you're in a good church when half the people are out somewhere else talking to each other when it's time to start. This is a good family when people want to love on one another and get to see one another and catch up with one another. However, if you are on the edges of our gathering and you can see other people who are beyond the edges, let's encourage them to come on in because it's well past time to start and we're going to begin. So come on in, folks, including the senior pastor. Yay! Of course, we're always having fun. This is good. So,
life connections, and it's just a complex, beautiful community. It's wonderful.
So we are coming together again after our Uplifted Into God's Presence conference last week with Franklin. And we had a wonderful time then. There will be opportunity later on for you to share just sort of short versions of what God did. Not the whole story probably, but just the short version, the headlines, so that we can all rejoice at what God's done. But we are going to welcome his presence this morning because every time we get together, he loves it, doesn't he? Every time we get together, he shows up, as we're seeing demonstrated among some of us, which is great. So, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us and in our gathering together, and that you're going to do more and more and more because we treasure your presence. So we want to be a people who are becoming a place of your presence together. And so as we worship this morning, would you increase your presence in us and among us and have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So if we've got any worshipers who are still capable, let's worship. And absolutely, that'll do it, won't it?
Let's all stand. Yes. And let's lift our hands and just start giving thanksgiving to God. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We relish in it. We bathe in it. We soak in it. Thank you for the thickness of it. Worship you. We worship you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the way maker. Thank you, Lord. You're always making a way. You always go out before us. Go ahead of us.
Lord, we want to move you with our love, with our attention, with our obedience. Thank you for the privilege of touching your heart by pouring out our hearts. Thank you for your presence in this room as we gather together. Now would you continue to increase your love poured out on each one of us, that we in turn can pour that love on one another and on a hurting world. We love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. We love to celebrate God's presence. And this past weekend, when Franklin Spence was with us from Switzerland, we had an amazing time together, and I want to just open the floor for anyone to share just an insight into what God spoke to you or what God did in your heart through his presence last weekend. So wave and I'll come to you with the microphone and we'll hear from you. Come on then, Dave.
one piece that the Lord gave to me this week after our meeting. I refer to him as my Father, my Heavenly Father. And he said, that's correct, and that's right, and that's who I am. But I am not always comfortable calling him Dad or Daddy, because he is Almighty God in his glory. But he said, I'm also your dad and your friend. And so I was holding him right here. Not that he was far away, but he said to me, I want to be closer. I want to be here. Not just here because this is my proper place, but I also want to be here. So that was my revelation this week. Wonderful.
I love that. Renee, you waved?
Oh. So the greatest takeaway outside of being in the Lord's presence and just being filled was the tidbit on small and intimacy. And God has actually been talking to me a lot about that since then, in regards to like so many different facets of my life essentially right now, and not worrying about like a bigger picture, but like this small and intimate, and being able to share and being able to watch growth not only within myself but others that he brings around, and not having this expectation that it's got to be this huge thing, but the small and the intimate is the appropriate manner in which to operate. So
that's beautiful. Yeah, there's no conflict between this small and intimate and a great big God.
So sometimes the Lord speaks to me through some unusual imagery. And if you read the Bible, sometimes it is unusual imagery that, you know, people see. So over 10 years ago, God gave me something in the spirit that I didn't know what it was. And it's going to sound strange, but it was this black titanium steel ball. And he said, this is your weapon against the enemy. And I'm like, okay. So years later, it got revealed to me that that's a space in the spirit I can go. It's a place of hiding. It's a place of his presence. It's a place of being close and intimate with him, almost like the secret place. And God took me into another level of that this past weekend, where it was what you had experienced, a closeness to Father, a closeness to Dad, where he was just holding me in his arms. He's like, I'm not letting you go. I love you. And it was just very, again, black type of environment, but it was like you ever go into that like a living room space where there's these dim lights and there's a fire going, that type of intimacy and closeness, and that's what I experienced last weekend.
That's great, Ira. Thank you. Time for one more. Okay. I wanted to remind you of the manifesto that Franklin read, because I think this is what we've been hearing from the folks who've shared. He said, I refuse to live an ordinary Christian life when I'm filled with an extraordinary God. Then he added, if I truly believe that he fills me, then I'm confronted by the fact that normal is no longer my portion in life, that I must live a supernatural life if I'm truly filled with a supernatural God. To which I say, amen. Yeah? That is exactly God's plan for us, and it aligns so perfectly with our mission statement that you all walked past as you walked in, that this is a safe place to meet with God and to become who you're designed to be, and then to give his love away to others. Now, that statement applies to all of our gatherings. It doesn't just apply when we walk in this building. It's our statement of who we are as a family. And so that means that whenever you're meeting with somebody else, or even when you're on your own, that it applies to you and to me. And I think it applies more when we're together than it does when we're alone, because we have to fight against that sort of American version, American distortion of faith, which says it's all about me and God and just leave me alone to do it my way. Okay? That's a lie. But whenever we are together, that is when God loves to meet with us, make us more who he's designed us to be, which is what's been going on in different hearts through the last weekend. But also then that he'd equip us to give his love away. God said two things to me while I was on the floor last weekend. The first he said was, my presence is your provision. And when he said your, he didn't mean my, he meant our. Okay? His presence is our provision. And then he also said, and my presence is your authority. Because we live in a world that needs to see our authority. We live in a world that's crying out for more of God, but we don't know how to give that to them. It's in God's presence that we have the authority to exercise our dominion that we were created for. It's our reason for being. God's presence is not an optional activity. It's not something we should sort of schedule in once a week or once a month. God's presence is where you and I live moment by moment and day by day. It's our constant reality because God formed us for himself. Yes, Mark, he did. Yes. Yeah, you are God's creation. You are God's masterpiece, every one of you. He created you because you belong to him. And the most important thing is that the creator of everything lives in you. Let that sink in for a moment, because that should make you feel a little more stretched than you did when you arrived. The creator of everything is living in you right now. So it's foundational for us that we should become a place of God's presence, isn't it? And that is a choice that you and I make, but it also has to be a corporate commitment. Like I said already, the key word with God's presence is with. It's you and me with God, but you and me with one another as well. So there's that dual nature to God's presence. We're with God, we're collaborating with him, we're obeying his voice, we're only doing what we see the Father doing, like Jesus did. That's his design for us in our relationship, each one of us with him, but we're also doing it with one another, so that we're no longer isolating ourselves to our own lives. I started reflecting, some of you know I've been away this week, I started reflecting on my own life. And God said, you don't own your life. You don't have an own life because you gave it to him, right? I don't have an own life. It's his life because I gave it back to him. So I can enjoy God's presence on my own, and there's a time and a place for that, and I've done some of that while I've been away this week. But that's only a very small part of the picture, and if we're honest, enjoying God's presence on my own is a very intermittent thing for most of us, isn't it? Because stuff happens. And life gets in the way. And we were in the prayer time before the meeting, we were talking about distractions. There's all kinds of things that get in the way. But here's the thing. God designed us to be relational. He designed us to be like this. This is why it's so significant that we get together. That's why I love it when we have to start late, because everybody's busy visiting and hugging and praying for one another and catching up. Actually, I lied. I don't love it that we start late. I love it that we're doing that. But I'd also love us to start on time, just saying. Because we gain so much from these times together. when we worship him and when we hear from his word and when we minister to one another and as we grow together. And we can only really flourish together, can't we? You know, your heart and your kidneys and your liver and your stomach don't go off and do their own thing, do they? I hope not too. Yeah. Right? Because it's part of one body. But look around you. This is part of one body. And we belong together and we function best with the input of one another. Because all of our internal organs have what they draw from each other and contribute to one another. That's why you need them all. Right? You don't think, oh, I don't think I'll bother with my heart this week. It's fine. Leave it over there. Give it a rest. Well, guess what? Ain't happening. It's the same in the body of Christ. So let's think for a moment, why is it so uncommon to be unaware of God's presence? Or why is it so uncommon to be aware of God's presence? There are all kinds of opponents of God's presence, and we need to be aware of them in order that we can move away from them and more into God's presence, right? We need to recognize that the kingdoms of this world are not set up to enjoy God's presence. And when I talk about the kingdoms of this world, I'm talking about human wisdom. I'm talking about our own selfish agendas. I want to do it my way. I'm talking about godless authorities in different spheres, or not just of the government. We're not going to get political, but even business has got so many godless spheres of authority. And then there's this constant indoctrination that leaves God out. One of the things God told me to do this week was to take the news app off of my phone, and then to take Facebook off of my phone. Because I don't want to listen to that crap anymore. Excuse me being blunt. So there's the kingdoms of this world, but then there's also the kingdoms of darkness. There are principalities and powers and enemy activity, spiritual forces of rebellion that don't want you and I to be living consciously in the presence of God moment by moment. We are in a battle. We need to understand that. But let's not be overwhelmed by that, because Jesus has won. Come back to that in just a second. There's a third area that's opposed to the awareness of God's presence, and that's the kingdom of Mark. Or the kingdom of Carol, seeing as you laughed. Yeah. Or the kingdom of Alex. You know, when I'm living in my kingdom, then I'm not going to be as aware of God's presence. My self-rule, my wisdom, what I know, what I understand, how I can manage without God, thank you very much. All of the ways that I focus on what I need or what I want or what I want to do. It's, you've heard me say it before, the problem that all of us have is that phrase that comes from the fall of Satan, I will. Because the center of sin is I. That's a clever little play on words if you want to just think about it. Yeah. S-I-N. Yeah. Okay. The center of sin is I. So the kingdom of Mark is an opponent of God's presence, just as the kingdom of darkness is an opponent of God's presence, just as the kingdom of this world is an opponent of God's presence. All three our opponents, but there is a liar who tells you that those three are more powerful than experiencing God. They're more powerful than you encountering God. So the liar will tell you, oh yeah, you had a great time on the floor last weekend, but that was last weekend. Now get back to reality. Don't. Stay on the floor. Yeah? Stay in his presence. Because that is a lie. It's the same lie as when that liar said, you won't surely die, you'll become like God. That's where the problem came from. So it's a lie to say that all of those other kingdoms are more powerful. And we need to remind ourselves of that, because Jesus has overcome all of those kingdoms. When he died on the cross, he overcame all the powers of darkness. That's why he said, "It is finished." There's nothing more to do. We don't need to get Jesus to come and defeat it all again. He has already defeated all the powers of darkness. He's already overcome even my selfishness, let alone yours. He has overcome all of the world's systems. His power is greater already. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 3, because it's very important that we recognize the significance of God's presence for us as the church. I've been meditating on this chapter all through this week while I've been away. I want to read it first of all from verse, what is it? Verse 10, I think. Yeah. So I'm going to read from verse 10 of chapter 3. And we'll leave the 30 pieces of silver for later. And then I'm going to read you my sort of amplified translation as well. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Now let me read it in how I've added to it. No, I haven't added to it. I've expanded it to help my heart to grasp it. By the vehicle of the assembled called out ones, the family of God, the rich and diverse purposeful understanding of God is declared and experienced now by the leaders and the powerful in the spiritual realm. In conformity with the published plan and purpose of God throughout the ages, that he's crafted and completed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have freedom to express ourselves and confident trust to be introduced into God's presence by his experience of believing and trusting God. So I implore you not to lose heart at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. On account of this, I humbly bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in the spiritual realm and on earth receives its identity, that according to the flowing abundance of his weighty splendor, he may give himself to you all, so that you gain the upper hand through God's indwelling with divine ability, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may permanently inhabit your hearts, because you're persuaded by your experience of him. That you, being deeply rooted and established with a firm, well-laid foundation in love, may have strength sufficient to prevail, as you apprehend and overtake with all of those set apart for God what is the vast breadth and extensive length and exalted height and profound depth, and to experience the willing love of Christ that goes beyond the ordinary limits of knowledge, that you may be fulfilled with all the completeness of God, lacking nothing. Well, that's quite a calling, isn't it? So what is the purpose of us, the body of Christ, the church? What is our purpose? It's in verse 10. It is to prove God's forever plan to the spiritual realm. The reason we are gathered together as a church family, as part of the global church, is to demonstrate God has had a purpose for eternity, and he is fulfilling and completing it right now here on the earth. So that all of the principalities and powers, the ones who rebelled against God, get to see God is winning. And all of those who did not rebel against God get to see God is winning. So every breakthrough that you and I have, every step forward, every experience of God's presence is being watched by the demons, yes, by the angels, certainly, but also by our Heavenly Father. He is watching every one of us, making room for his presence, making room for us to demonstrate his purpose here on the earth. You don't just go to church because you feel like it on a Sunday. You are the church to demonstrate that God is winning and that God has a kingdom that's increasing and everything is going to see it. And it's going to see it, verse 10 says, through us. So how do we demonstrate that purpose in our daily lives? How do we live that out? It's by the Father giving himself to us, taking this now from which verse was it? I lost it. The Father giving himself to us. Verse 16. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He's giving himself to us so that you and I have enough strength to win. If I tell you that we want to experience God's presence more frequently, I don't know about you, but my first reaction is I don't think I've got enough energy to do that. I don't think I've got enough fight in me to win that one. Well, I don't have to have enough fight in me to win that one. The Father wants to give himself to me so that I will have the strength in him to prevail. And not just to prevail, but to overtake. To overtake, to apprehend, to lay hold, to catch up with the love of Christ. If I were to give you, it's a weak analogy, but let me give you an analogy. A long time ago, there was a young man who saw this beautiful young lady, and he had to somehow muster up the courage to ask her out on a date. And he had to ask God for that courage because he hadn't dated anyone for the longest time. And it was only recently that God had stopped telling him that he wanted him to be single. And now he's blown away by this beautiful young lady. But he doesn't know how to ask somebody out on a date because he's not the dating kind. But God gave him the ability to pursue love. And he's still enjoying the fruit of that ability today. Because she said yes. This is why a revelation of the Father is so vital for all of us. Because it's the Father comes to you to give you the strength. That's the F of our FIRE acronym. The Father. The second is that it's so vital that we cultivate and enjoy intimacy with Jesus, because that's what we're designed to pursue, and that's the I of our FIRE acronym. But then also the Holy Spirit, he does it in the Spirit, and so it's the Holy Spirit's power that both sets us free from what holds us back, that's the R of our FIRE acronym, and then empowers us to reach out and pursue and grab that presence, that love, that sense of God's life in us. And that's the E of our FIRE acronym. Father's love, intimacy with God, restoration, redemption, restoration, and equipping and empowering. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father all work together for you and me to catch the fire. Now come to verse 19 with me. The goal of all of this is to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, when you and I are filled with all the fullness of God, not just individually in our prayer closets, but whenever we get together like this as well, as the church, we're demonstrating God's victory to everyone who's watching. We're demonstrating God's victory to earthly powers. We're demonstrating God's victory to spiritual powers. We're demonstrating God's victory to everybody who's looking for that. It's very, very powerful. God wants his victory to be seen throughout the world. And it's the love of Christ that provides that undeniable evidence that God is winning and that God has a purpose. It's the love of Christ. Now, Christ is not a name. It's a descriptor. His name was Jesus. Christ was his title or his... It's not even his title, it's his descriptor. Christ means the anointed one. Do you know how you become an anointed one? Somebody comes up to you and they dump a bucket of oil over you. I didn't bring a bucket of oil, you're safe. But yeah, they dump a bucket of oil over you. Okay, and this is why sometimes when people get prayed for, they fall over. Because God comes along and dumps a bucket of metaphorical oil all over them. And they slip and fall over. Jesus lived an earthly life that was covered in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same for you and me. It's the love of Christ, the anointed one, the one who's identified by what's been poured on you, the one who's filled. It's that love of his presence, that love of the anointing that enables us to live this out. That's why it's so crucial for us to become a place of his presence. Because that is the undeniable evidence that God's purpose is being fulfilled. It's not big meetings, although big meetings are great. It's not big yellow billboards with red letters beside the highway saying, pray this right now. Sorry, I saw a few of those on my way out this week. Bah. It's not even giving stuff to those in need or even just sacrificing your whole life. It's not those things that will show that God is winning. Because 1 Corinthians 13 starts out saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I've got prophetic powers or I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Friends, I am nothing without his love. You are nothing without his love. It's his presence, the presence of love that makes all the difference. So every breakthrough that you have, every step forward you make, every good choice you make is a gift from the Father. And it's an anointing with love. It's that pouring of oil over your life. And it's seen by the angels and it's seen by the demons. It's like, whoa, can't touch that one. Too slippery. Because of the anointing of his presence. The presence of love in you and me. It affects us all for the better because love is a person. Love is a person. He lives in you and he lives in me. His kingdom comes when we get together because we become a place of his presence. Love is a person and he's here when we gather and he's here right now. So, when we're together, you can give what you've received. You can give love to others like we so often do when we meet. You can give freedom. You can give provision. You can give healing. You can give truth. You can give all kinds of gifts out of what you've been given, whether it's compassion or whether it's courage or whether it's honesty. But also when we're together, you can ask for what you need, because there's abundance when we're together. And so you can ask of God, but you can also ask of your spiritual family. Just like every organ in your body depends on all the other organs, so God has designed us to receive from one another whatever it is we need. And so when we gather, when we become a place of His presence, both individually and together, the spiritual realm is taking notice. Here's the truth about our world. The darkness is going to persist until the light becomes brighter, because God's presence is our authority and God's presence is our provision. So let me talk about just a couple of practicalities of how do we do this, how do we live this, and then we're going to wrap it up with communion and ministry. Here's the primary practicality I've discovered. God takes the initiative, not me. God takes the initiative, not me. See, if you're hearing Mark standing at the front telling you, you better try harder to experience God's presence, you're missing it. It's getting twisted in transmission. I don't want that. If instead your heart is going, wow, that sounds wonderful, I'd love that. That's God taking the initiative. He's wanting your heart to open wider to receive more of His presence. Not because you should or you ought or you must, but because He loves you. He's drawing you closer. You see, when I do something in my wisdom to get closer to God, that's religion. But when God draws me to Himself, it's usually with some sort of specific suggestion or specific request. Look at me. Pause. Come closer. Let go of that, whatever that might be. And so my part is to yield and say yes. God takes the initiative. I say yes. Because God wants us to know His presence even more than we want to know His presence. And it's our yielding to God's presence that brings the increase of that anointing of love. And so I want to ask you to pause for a second and just say to yourself, how is God inviting me to yield to His presence right now? How is God inviting me to yield to His presence? And then here's the second practicality. As soon as I identify something that I feel God is maybe drawing me towards or suggesting to me, then the opponents are going to argue with me. Yeah? Oh, but I haven't got time for that. Remember, the opponents are only powerful if we let them be. You know, the best way to defeat the opponents is to say yes to that first voice you heard. When God's inviting me, it doesn't make sense because His ways are higher than my ways. But when I say yes, it does make sense because He does it and I couldn't. The opponents will convince us that it's just church. It's just the same old people week after week. Doesn't really matter if I skip it. But actually, as I look around the room, there's a whole bunch of you who really made an effort today to come and to be here. And I know God's going to meet you because of that. It struck me the other day, you know, if there was somebody really famous was going to be here next Sunday, I'd be here. Yeah, a movie star or a sports star or even a famous Christian celebrity. Yeah? If they were going to be here next Sunday, yeah, I'm coming. But guess what? Jesus is here every week. And He's way more famous. Way more famous. Anyway, God is meeting with us together. So, God takes the initiative. The opponents oppose, but we don't have to listen to them. How do we make the choice? How do we swing from what we've been used to, where we get distracted or disempowered by the wrong voices? How do we switch around to saying yes to God's initiative? There are all kinds of simple, practical things we can do, but one of the most important things is to create patterns. To create patterns in our lives that are saying yes to Him. Now, don't hear this as a sort of clipboard of requirements where you've got to check the boxes. But these are things that help. Why do we praise and worship when we meet? Because it helps. So guess what? You don't have to wait for Jan to be singing or Jane to be playing or Ira to be leading for you to worship. In the Bible school, we've been learning how powerful praise is. Renee did a powerful message on that just a few weeks ago. We can praise Him. Build a pattern of praise. Maybe put your favorite praise song as the sound of your alarm on your phone so that you can set it to go off every hour or something. I don't know. Ooh, there's a thought. I saw that thought land. Just an idea. Or how about set a timer for every 15 minutes, so when it goes ping, pray in tongues for 30 seconds. Because guess what? When you pray in tongues, it's not you praying. It's Holy Spirit knowing what's going on in my heart, praying for me with the will of God. That helps. Maybe it's a routine of reading God's word. You know, most of us were taught, oh, you must get up early and read the word. And most of us were like, I'd rather stay in bed. And so it didn't really work, did it? But on the other hand, if you can build in, where do I find it easiest to read the word and make it a pattern, not just a one-off? You'll be amazed what God will do. Not as an ought or a should, but as a wanna. That wasn't in my notes, but that's a free one. Here's another pattern that I think we so easily miss. Being honest with others I can trust, other believers. Being real, being open, being honest with people I can trust. That's what's important about our community fire groups that we're just beginning to get started. Because in your community fire group, you can really be open with a smaller group of people with enough time to actually be real. And that's so, so important. Because we want those fire, we're calling them fire groups because it's F-I-R-E. It's the Father, it's intimacy, it's restoring us and releasing us from the past, as well as equipping and empowering. And in those groups, we can be real with each other. So set a pattern. Because when I set a pattern, I'm allowing Father to give Himself to me, to give me the strength to prevail. That's what the Word says. The Father will give you strength to apprehend the love of Christ, to seize the anointing, to receive the presence of love, to stay in that presence. This is vital because the spiritual realm is watching. There is a battle, but we don't win it by screaming louder. We don't win it by becoming the biggest church in the area, or by getting our favorite politician elected, or by winning some kind of movie franchise, or any of that stuff. We win it by living love day by day where God has put us. And not doing it alone, doing it together. So we're going to do it together. We're going to become a place of God's presence. That's our commitment as a church family. That's why our vision statement is what it is. We want to come here and meet with God. We want to become who we're designed to be, which is lovers of His presence. And we want to give that love away to one another and a hurting world. And I believe you're here because you want that too. But it's vital that every one of us minister that to one another, that we give away what we've received, and that together we enjoy God's presence. So we're going to begin by receiving communion. And then we're going to, as we receive communion, we're going to pray for one another to experience more of God's presence. And it's normal for some of us to need to know that for me, and some of us to feel like I want to give this away to others. We're going to make room for both this morning. So what I'd like you to do, first off, is just to put down your Bibles and your notepads and close your eyes, and let's ask God what He wants to do. Because remember, that is the key. God takes the initiative. So we'll do that first together, and then I'll explain the rest from there. Father, thank you that you're speaking to each heart in this room. You're inviting each one of us to a step forward with you. And so as you identify God's voice inviting you to a step forward, I encourage you to say yes. And knowing what your step forward is, I want to invite you to put action to that step forward and come forward. Once you know what your step forward is, come forward. Because remember, the power of every step forward is the Father giving Himself to you. So I want you to come forward and receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, because it symbolizes the Father giving Himself to you. And as He gives Himself to you, you can receive just yourself first. And as He gives Himself to you, you're going to experience more of His presence, because He's here to do that. And the purpose of receiving His presence is to give it away. So once you've received and said yes to His invitation, His initiative, once you've received, ask Him, now what, Father? Because He's going to show you something to do, probably in terms of praying for others, but He's going to show you something to do to give away what He's giving to you. God's presence is a two-way street. God loves it when we're together like this. So the second step is bound to be connected in some way to blessing somebody else or receiving from somebody else. He'll show you. I'm not going to dictate what that looks like, because it's His will, not ours, that we're making room for this morning. So, Father, you're showing us a step you're inviting each of us to take. And as we step out of our seats and take that step, we want to receive your love, your strength, to continue to take that step after the end of this meeting. But as we step out with you, you're going to show us what you want to do and who you want us to do it with. And so we're going to say yes to you for praying or prophesying or asking for prayer in the love of the Father. So as you say yes, I invite you to step forward and receive the elements, receive the strength. If you haven't already brought your tithe back to the Lord or brought your offering to the Lord, you can do that at the same time. But once you've received the elements, ask him, what now, Father? And just obey what he says. And once we've all received, I'm going to come around and just bless what God is doing in each of you. So let him lead you to what's next. He already is, but say yes and obey and see what he will do. To go pray for someone, to go ask someone for prayer, to impart something God has given you to somebody else. Whatever he shows you to do with what you have, go and do it. Okay, folks, wrap up the impartation or prayer that you're doing. There's a couple more things we need to say before we're all dismissed. So finish what you're imparting and then give me your attention back this way, please. One more moment to finish what you're doing, and then let's all have quiet and your attention back to the front, please. Wonderful, thank you. One or two still not quite finished, but if we could have your attention back to the front now, that would be most helpful. Thank you. First off, I want to just ask Ira briefly to make an announcement about the Passover Seder and also the Tent of David.
So who likes worship nights? So Tent of David is modeled after the Tent of David, where we all come together into the presence of God, bring, and each one has type of mindset where we participate in worship, we participate in spiritual gifts, we participate in prayer and intercession. So that's March 28th. Can we get the graphic up? It'll be from 7 to 8:30. And then in 20 days, we have the Passover Seder that's being planned. If you go on the Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach website and go on under the events and go to the Passover Seder section, there'll be a place where you can pay the $15 fee that goes towards some of the expenses that we have. And then go ahead and contact me of what you can bring, something simple. There's a sign-up sheet over there. And if you have any questions, please contact me so I can communicate those questions or any confusion that you may have. And then we'll have a good time. So.
So for the Passover Seder, we need table leaders. So if God is calling you to be a table leader, we need you to step forward and let us know, because that's a little bit of a different, just a few extra requirements, and that we want to pray with you about that.
And in the planning of it all. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Do recommend the Seder to all of you and invite friends. It's open to everyone. And then also, speaking of open to everyone, the Bethel team arrive here on Wednesday afternoon. We've just got them for the few days through the weekend. They will be part of the Tent of David Friday evening, but also they'll be leading the service on Sunday morning next Sunday. But on Saturday evening here, after Corey and Lily's wedding shower in the afternoon, we're going to have the Bethel team here in this room from 7 p.m. onward, just for whatever God wants to do, for ministering to one another, prophetic words, that kind of stuff. So anybody welcome, no pressure, but if you're hungry for more, that'll be a time where you can come and receive from the Bethel team here in this room at 7 p.m. this coming Saturday. Okay? Finally, we want to pray for Christian, because you ship out next week to boot camp. And so we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Can you come and stand in the river with me? And let's pray for this man who's stepping out in courage and faith for all that God wants him to do and all that God wants him to be. And I'm going to pass the microphone around to anybody who has something to pray, and then I'll wrap it up at the end.
So, Father, we just thank you. We come together before you, and we lift up Christian from one mother to another mother to a son, embarking on a beautiful journey that God has called you to. And it is a calling, because not everybody has the stamina or the heart or the desire to fulfill such a duty as to put your life on the line for a place and a country and a people. So it is a calling. And it is your destiny, and it is his plan, and it is his purpose for you. So we pray the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge and the patience and the love, because you're going to need love. And we pray these things into you to cover you and protect you and keep you. The endurance to run this race and to know that you are in a place that God has for you. To know that when those times and those moments that you're feeling heavy, that you're feeling like, oh, why am I doing this? You need only to turn your eyes toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, that you have my back and that you're filling me with your strength. We thank you, Father, for Christians, yes, to fulfill this duty. And we just ask that you continue to keep him lifted and covered. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Christian, I see the Lord filling you with a fearlessness as of a lion. I'm seeing the Lord filling you with the roar of the Lion of Judah. And I sense a boldness being stirred in you that will only grow stronger and stronger. And despite your feelings, despite maybe feeling scared or anxious, nervous, whatever that is, I just sense the Lord just holding you, and he is not going to let you go in every step, every hard thing that you will encounter, every person that you will meet. He will not let you go in the name of Jesus.
Christian, I see such a connection with the Father and you, and it's a connection where his commitment is right there, and he is pouring down everything that you need, just the intimacy, the knowing, the reality, the realness of him. It's like an umbilical cord that's for him. So you, as you leave here, sort of cutting some sort of things in the natural to be set free to fly, but you are connected with God, and he is faithful to you, and you just need to be, anytime, just be aware of that connection. Just say yes to him.
Okay, what I kept hearing was desire. You know, Lord, it says the Lord desires of our heart, and you may not think that you desire this, that this is not something you really desire, something you're doing. But as you go forward and you stay steady with the Lord, you're going to get new desires of your heart, and new things are going to grow in there, and it's going to push you forward in a different way than you ever thought possible. So just, you know, desires of our heart change as we go with time. So you may not think this is a desire of your heart, but I think it's leading to every desire of your heart that's to come.
Christian, I'm hearing the Father say, this is about relationship. And no matter what happens, he's there for you to call upon. No matter what situation you find yourself in, whether it's dire or whether you're having praise heaped upon you, you're to call upon him.
So,
all I'd like to say is that the Lord will give you the faith, and he will also hold your health and give you all the love you need. Just embrace him and talk to him every day. He'll answer you. Thank you.
I usually don't speak, but so I asked God to give me an image, you know, that might relate to you. So I saw a forest, and I saw two trees and a hammock on it, and someone was in it. And then I asked God, what do you think, what does that mean? And I got the words calm, collective, and then just relax in him. So if something hard comes your way, just know that he has your back.
I just want to thank God for blessing me with my 2-pound miracle. I just want to thank God for the life that he has given me. You have made me such a better person by having you in my life. He entrusted me with you. And I pray that you hold on to all the values that I have instilled in you, God, above any and all. He comes first. Just operate from that area. Know that you are loved. Know that you are. I'm not referring to me. I'm talking about Christ. I can never love you for the way that he loves you and cherishes you, okay? And then I want you to do your best. When I say be your best, and your best is in Christ. You can't do nothing without him. Put him first. Send him before you, and he'll clear your path. Trust in him in all things. You're going to encounter people. You have such a calling on your life that you have souls that God has assigned to you that you have to minister to just because of your walk. The things that I finally realized, a lot of the things that you went through is before your purpose. It's for your purpose, for who he has you, the man of God, okay? I am so proud of you. This is a little difficult. I've already prayed over you, but I'm just full. I'm proud of you. I want you to know openly that I am very proud of the man that you are. I know that you will do well. Mm-hmm. Just put God first. That's the only thing I can say is God first and foremost. Everything else is going to boop, 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 boop. Put him first. Pray, and don't be ashamed of them. You're going to be in there, and people going to be like, oh, you doing this and you doing that. They don't have to know what you're doing, but you always give them the praise. You always honor him, okay? And then you don't have to say nothing else. Your works, he's going to provide that. It's going to be laid out for you, okay?
So I see you. But I don't see you. And what do I mean by that? When you're not here, it's like your mom's here, and I'll ask, how are you doing? You know, she'll answer, he's good, he's working or getting rest. But while everybody was praying, and I see a bunch of people walking into a room in a uniform, but everybody's focusing on you, nobody else. There's a bunch of people, but for some reason, there's a light shining down on you. So you are going to be a leader of many men. So continue to pray. It's going to be a difficult walk. It's not going to be easy because somebody say, oh, it's going to be easy. It's not. They have study groups, so you'll be fine. You'll figure out the people to be with and the ones you need to cut off. God's going to take care of that. You continue that strong walk. When you walk into a room, you're going to light it up. I promise God's not going to leave you, and we're going to continue to pray for you, whether you're here or far away. So God bless you, your mom and your daughter, little cousin. We pray for her as well. And so just continue to, you know, keep your head up.
One sentence. This is for your heart, and this is for others.
So, Father, we honor Christian as a man who's already had a big impact on many people. We honor him as a man who's taking a step of courage into the future you've prepared for him. And we thank you for your presence in his life already and your promise to always be with him. He's already seen that on the journey to get to today. That you've intervened, you've changed, you've directed. And we bless him to hear you and see you every step of the way, giving him strength to apprehend the love of Christ and give it away to others. And we thank you for who he's becoming, because you're taking him into a place of even greater impact than he's ever had before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now,
can we just get a picture with Christian in the middle and we get a picture of everybody?
Everybody gather around, face Holly. All right, now we'll go out and change the world. Come back and tell us all about it.